You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Thomas Robinson of Kingdom Sounds here at the radio station in Brevard County. Oh, glory to God. WWBC 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Oh, glory to God. And I want to talk with you on today about portals. Me and my wife, we just recently took a cruise, and we had to come back into this country through a port. Oh, glory to God. Legally through a port. And so because a lot of times in the we don't, as Christians, understand that there are gates, there are doors, there are portals. Oh, glory to God. You may look in your Bible and you may see that many a times it's called an opening or an open heaven. Come on, an opening or an open heaven. And so there were people in the Bible that experienced an open heaven. There was people in the Bible that experienced seeing doors. Oh, glory to God. And so let's go quickly to Acts chapter 10. Let me just set a few examples. Acts chapter 10. Okay. And let's go to verse 11. Acts chapter 10, verse 11. Everything's Bible. Bible app. It's acting up. Okay. Here we go. The Bible says, and this is Peter. Peter's talking here, and the Bible says that that he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. As a matter of fact, let's go up a little bit. The Bible says, let's go up a little further. Verse 9, and the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. About the sixth hour, oh glory to God, nothing like praying people. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And so here Peter sees, has an open vision, but he saw the heaven open. Come on. He saw an opening. Somebody say a portal, a gate, a door. He saw an opening. Can I tell you something? New things happen. God introduces new things to us under an open heaven, new understanding. Oh, glory to God, occurs under an open heaven. Oh, glory to God. And so there are people in the Bible, you know, like Jacob, who experienced an open heaven. Come on, he saw a gate. He saw as a matter of fact, he saw an opening, and he saw a ladder that reached from heaven to the earth. And the Bible says that he saw angels ascending and descending. Come on. angels ascending and descending, going up and down this ladder. And the Bible says that God stood up at the top of this opening and began to speak to him. Oh, glory to God. And so he had, so he experienced seeing an opening in heaven. Now, I want you to keep in mind that there are times when the Bible is talking about the heavens. As a matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1 said that in the beginning, God created the heavens, plural. Now, some of your Bibles may say heaven, oh, glory to God. But my Bible, the King James, the New King James Version, says the heavens, plural. In other words, who was that? Paul. Paul spoke about being, you know, caught up and to the third heaven. And so I need you to understand that there, you know, there's a first seven heaven, there's a second heaven, and there's a third heaven. The heaven that Paul was talking about was a place, or is a place, where God resides. Oh, glory to God. Where the throne of God is. I'll say that, where the throne of God is. Now, a lot of us, you walk outside and you see the sky. Oh, glory to God. Well, that's the first heaven. You see the sky, you see the clouds up in the air. That's the first heaven. But the Bible also talks about a second heaven. Oh, glory to God, which is outer space. It has to deals with the universe. Come on, where the sun is, it's where the sun and the stars. When you look up at night, you see the sun, you see the stars, you see all these other planetary systems and things like that. That is the second heaven. Oh, glory to God. But there is a heaven, because a lot of us, I think a lot of times, you know, in the body of Christ, we believe that, you know, God, you know, resides out in space somewhere. But the Bible says that he measured the heavens in the span of his hand. In other words, God is so big that he could take his hand and measure the heaven. That's an awesome God. And then yet he's so small, he can come and inhabit you, get on the inside of you. Come on. He's an omnipresent God. He's an all-knowing God. He's everywhere. You can't get away from him. As a matter of fact, David said, if I was to make my bed in hell, you're there. Come on. I can't get away from you. And so we see that there were people in the Bible that experienced, had an experience, or saw a vision, or God dealt with them by allowing their spiritual eyes to open up, and they begin to see that there was a door in heaven. Can I tell you something? It's amazing, because you know, when people experience this type of thing, like, okay, all right, under an open heaven, people see visions, people hear. I'm gonna say that again. Under an open heaven, people see visions and people hear. We look in Acts chapter 10. We see that Peter, and I think I might have spoke about it before. We see that Peter, he saw, animals in a great sheet. As a matter of fact, I believe it says in Acts 10 and 11 that he saw the heavens. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Speaking of these gates, and I believe that there was more than one gate. I believe he looked up and gates and doors begin to open, whether he saw it in the form of a gate, whether he saw it in the form of a door. As a matter of fact, Jacob described what he saw as a gate. He said, this is nothing but the gate of heaven. Come on. It's an opening. It's a portal. Oh, glory to God. The same way that when we come back into this country, we have to come in legally, and we have to come through a portal or a port. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so, okay, all right. Well, let me tell you this here. The Bible says that hell has gates. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And so these devils, these demons, praise God, to access this realm or this natural realm, they have to come through gates. They have to come through portals. Oh, glory to God. But he says they shall not prevail. Hallelujah. You know, there are sometimes, I remember being young in the Lord and stuff, and there was times when, even a young minister, there was times when I would see that a door was open. Come on. I would see the enemy at the door, times the enemy trying to get through the door, and I'm trying to shut the door. There are sometimes we have open doors in our lives. Okay, let me just throw that out. There are sometimes that doors need to be shut. Come on. Oh, glory to God. The enemy has access through these doors, and a lot of times it's because we have sin in our lives. Okay, I'm going to say that again. A lot of times it's because we have sin in our lives. It allows the enemy to have an opening to come and to go. Can I tell you something? When Jesus was dealing with the sick man, the man that was lying on the bed, the Bible says that the four people carried him to Christ, and they couldn't get into this house, and they began to try to, you know, get through the front door, and they couldn't get through the front door because of the multitude of people. And they took this man and they pulled him up on the roof, and then they literally began to tear an opening in the roof. Come on, create an opening. Oh, glory to God. It kind of reminds you of when David said, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Tear the heavens and come down. Oh, glory to God. God don't necessarily have to come through a door. God can tear the heavens and come down. And sometimes you need some folks in your life that know how to tear things up. Come on, tear up doors that have been shut in your life, things that have been keeping you from getting access. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You need folks in your life that can create a portal, that can create an opening. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That you can have an audience with the Lord. Here are these men. Oh, glory to God. They're wonderful pictures of intercessors. Come on. Who were able to break open the roof that this man would have an audience with the Lord. And so we see that there are openings. Now, and you see that even in these, Ezekiel 1:1, the Bible says, as many as I was among the exiles by Chebar Canal, the heavens were open. Come on, the heavens were open, and I saw visions, plural, of God. Oh, glory to God. So he saw visions under this open heaven. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the heavens were open, as a matter of fact, there was an open heaven in Acts chapter 2, because the Bible says that these apostles that were in the room, the Bible says they heard a sound from heaven. Come on, from heaven. Something opened up. Come on, something opened up, and it allowed them not only to hear, but to see. I'm going to say that again. It allowed them not only to hear, but to see. Come on, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Look at this. Here's Christ. The Bible says that he was baptized, and the Bible says that he prayed. He prayed, and the Bible says the heavens were open unto him. The heavens, plural, were open. This is why Christ could go different places and do miracles and things like that, because the heavens were open unto him. Now, you know, I don't want you to make the mistake to think, you know, because some people say, well, you know, I'm in Christ, I'm born again, you know, and so if the heavens are open to Christ, they're open to me also. Not exactly. You know, okay, all right. How many remember that, who was that? Elijah, and I believe it's in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah 17 or 18. He just had pronounced that there will be food in the gates on tomorrow. Come on. He said there will be food. There was a famine going on. The people were starving to death. The people were locked up in the city. They were afraid to go out of the city. The conditions were bad. Everything was jacked up. And the man of God, who's a prophet, who represents the mouthpiece of God, stood up and said, there's going to be food in the gate on tomorrow. And there stood a man beside him, king's officer, that said, if God was to make windows in heaven, how might this be? Well, that's exactly what God had did. God had made windows in heaven. Now, I want you to pay attention to the geographical location. The Bible says in the gate. Come on. He said there would be food in the gate. Come on. Gates are, because sometimes God does things in a symbolic, figurative way. Glory to God. The gate represents portals. It represents openings. It represents a door. You're either coming or going. Something's coming or going. remember Jacob? Jacob said that the Bible says that Jacob looked up and he saw the angels ascending and descending. Oh, glory to God. And he says, this is a gate, a door. I need you to understand that there are gates, there are doors into this realm, into this material realm, from the spirit realm. This is why there's times that you'll look and you'll see in the Bible, I believe even in the book of Revelation, people would look up and they would say they saw an opening in heaven. Come on, the heavens open up. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so there are gates and there are portals. And so let me say this. The man that was standing beside the prophet said, if God was to make windows in heaven, how might this be? And the prophet turned to him and said, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you won't be able to eat of it. In other words, guess what? Yes, there is an open gate. There's an open portal. Oh, glory to God. And people are going to be refreshed. They're going to be blessed. But guess what? Because of your unbelief, you're going to see the provision. You're going to see what God is doing, but you're not going to be able to eat of it. Oh, glory to God. And so just because you're under an open heaven don't mean that, guess what, you're going to experience the benefits of it. Can I tell you something? This is why even when the Lord says that when you give, it shall be, I'll put it this way, Malachi, in the book of Malachi. And I forgot my Bible. I'm just letting you know I forgot. Hallelujah. And I was trying to use my phone, but my phone is acting up. But the Bible lets us know that when we give, that it causes the heaven to be open, that God will open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Come on. Oh, glory to God. He'll open the window of heaven, and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Well, what is a window? It's an opening. It's a passageway. Something's coming. Something's going. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so I want you to understand that there are doors. There are doors. When you look in the Bible, you'll see that the widow woman, glory to God, that when the prophet was sent to her, she was in Zidon. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that she was in Zarephath. And this Zarephath, it means refinement. In other words, God wants to make your life better. Come on. God wants to refine your life. Here he is. He's sending the prophet. Come on. Why? Because the prophet, sometimes I'm listening to the radio and I'm hearing people and they're criticizing the prophets. That's because you don't understand the office and you don't know anything about it. And you think that gives you a right to come and talk about the office of the prophet. Oh, glory to God, because you can't see and don't understand that there's something on the prophet's life that causes increase. Hallelujah. That prosperity is connected to the prophet. And not all the time, but there are some times when God tells the prophet to challenge you to give. As a matter of fact, can I tell you something? He challenged her to give where? At the gate. She was in the gate. She was under a portal. Come on. She was, the gate is symbolic of a portal, or symbolic of an opening. And here he's challenging her to give under this portal. Come on. He goes to her and he says, give me some water. She was like, I could do that. She goes to get the water. And he says, but bring me some bread also. He challenged her to give. And so she began to make excuses why she couldn't give the bread, because, she really didn't have any food. But he says, hey, give it. And God's going to do something for you. And so she believed what was said. But guess what? All of this was going on where? In the gate, in a portal. Okay, let's go to the four. Let me say this. Even when the man of God told her to go get the bread and the water, he stood in the gate. He did not leave out of the gate. He stood up under that opening, that portal. Sometimes people don't even recognize when they're under an open heaven. Sometimes people don't recognize, oh, glory to God, when they're, okay, all right, let's go there. Here you got the four lepers. They were in the gate. Come on, they were standing at the gate. Hallelujah. And they said, why sit we here till we die? You got to watch it when God starts talking about a gate. He starts to, because you got to realize that there's an opening there. Come on. Something's about to happen. As a matter of fact, it was four lepers. Could have been 10, could have been 15. But the Bible says it was four lepers. Why? Because four is the number of creative works. And you got to watch it, because when you start seeing numbers and you begin to understand numbers, you begin to understand that, guess what? God's about to do something special here. God's about to do something awesome here, because I see the number four. four represents creative works. And so here they are, they're standing in the gate. Come on, it says, why sit we here till we die? The Bible says that they got up, they made a decision. We're not going to go in the city because they're starving to death. Come on, they stuck. They're in a box. They're limited. Come on. Oh, glory to God. But we're going to go and we're going to start marching towards the enemy camp. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And even as they march, the Bible says that God calls the enemy to hear a sound of armies. And they got up and ran. Oh, glory to God. And these people begin to experience something new. Come on. They begin to go into the camp and go from tent to tent, getting food, getting money, getting clothing. Hallelujah. They were blessed tremendously. Why? Because of the open heaven. Come on, because something had opened up. You got to watch it. And I might not, some of you all might not understand me because you might be young in the Lord, but I'm talking to the mature Christians. Come on, because sometimes we don't even know when to give. We don't even recognize when the heavens are open. There are sometimes you're taking a dollar to put in the tray. Come on, to put in the offering basket. Come on, because you don't understand that the heavens are open. Come on, yeah, you're going to get a blessing off of that $1. But there are times when the heavens are open. And I'll finish up by telling this testimony. Me and my wife was at a service one night, and we were in Melbourne, Florida, and Lord Michael Hunt was preaching. He had been preaching out of the same passage of scripture for it seemed like the entire week. And this thing was just resonating in my spirit. And so it came offering time, and nobody had to tell me that the heavens were open. It was just, I was moved by God to sow. And I put it to you this way. I sold, I had $100 in my pocket, and I gave it to my wife. And I told my wife to go up and sow it. And when she sowed it, the apostle said that you're about to get the best job you ever got in your life. Well, less than 24 hours later, come on, somebody approached her at the Holmes Hospital, and she got the best job she ever got in her life. And people still approach her to this day. It's been almost 30 years later, and people are still approaching her, offering her job. She could be at a job, and someone will say, hey, you know, I want to offer you a job, you know. And she just recently was a director for a company. Come on. She just took on another job. But she was also approached on this job. Why? Because there was a door open. There was an opening there. And we gave under an open heaven. Come on. And so doors are still opening for her. And I know some of you all don't understand what I'm talking about. But it's one of the times to give. Oh, glory to God. Begin to ask God to sharpen your discernment, so that you'll know that when you are under an open heaven, come on, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, and you won't miss out on what God has for you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Hallelujah. Like I said, I forgot my Bible at the house. Hallelujah. And I just had to go with what God had put in my heart. I hope this word blessed you. Anyways, this is Thomas Robinson of Victory International Praise Ministries, Kingdom Sound. Oh, glory to God. We're here to release a kingdom sound to tell you what God is saying now. Hallelujah. Because God, people need to know what God is saying now. You know, sometimes we go to church and we've been hearing that same old message for 30 years. He's going to bring you out. Well, my God, it's time to be out already. It's time to be out already, you know. And so anyways, God bless you. If you want to get in touch with us, Tom Rob, TOMROB 7662 at gmail.com. I'm going to say that again. You can reach me at Tom Rob, TOMROB 7662 at gmail.com. Praise God. If you got a prayer request, send me your prayer request. Come on. Oh, glory to God. So that we could pray and intercede for you. So that we could break through for you. And you can get an audience with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. All right. Well, God bless you. One more thing. We're located at 250 North Babcock. 250 North Babcock in the wonderful city of Melbourne, Florida. That's Victory International Praise. All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for listening in to Kingdom Sounds. Be sure to listen in Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Our service times are Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you have a prayer request, you can send it in to VIPMinistries@att.net. We are located at 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. VIP is empowering God's people to overcome what's overcoming them and mobilizing them to impact society. Our prayer is that God will bless you and keep you, that He will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be blessed.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Each and every Christian should be clear on this point. Anti-Semitism, in any and all forms, is a despicable evil. Last month, Ye, the rapper formerly known as Kanye, made anti-Semitic remarks on social media about going, quote, DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. While he's apologized for those specific words, he hasn't let up on other anti-Semitic comments. Earlier this month, the FBI located the source of a threat to a New Jersey synagogue. These events are occurring against the backdrop of anti-Semitic behavior rising by a record high of 34% in 2021. That's up from 2020, according to the Anti-Defamation League. Jews are only 2% of the American population, but according to the FBI, they account for more than half of the targeted hate crimes. Most incidents include things like bullying, both in person, verbally and physically, and on social media, as well as vandalism, especially the defacing of Jewish institutions with hate symbols like swastikas. This has happened in many communities, including at a Jewish community center near a colleague's home just a few years ago. Still, even nonviolent incidents cannot be dismissed as merely words or pranks. The Jewish heritage, as one person put it, comes with a paranoia that's been confirmed by history. The ADL is correct to warn that the anti-Semitic poison currently rampant on social media sites find their way into mainstream discourse and, in some cases, inspire violence. As Christians called by God to this cultural moment, it's not enough for us to merely avoid being anti-Semitic. We have to oppose this vile ideology wherever and whenever we come across it. Years ago, at an interfaith dialogue featuring a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jew, a Buddhist, and me, a skeptic asked the three monotheists, if God is a God of love, why do you insist on proselytizing others? Well, setting aside the loaded postmodern assumptions and the strange question itself, I remember being surprised by the answer that was given by the representative of Judaism. We don't proselytize, he said. We believe God made a special arrangement with us through our father Abraham. And then he continued jokingly, if he made a deal with any of you, we don't know about it. Now, Christians, of course, agree that God made a special arrangement with Abraham. However, Christians also understand that in that agreement, God launched His plan of redemption, and that through this arrangement with Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's Genesis 22:18. This, of course, God did through Jesus, who was, as the scripture makes abundantly clear, thoroughly Jewish.